Good morning. Welcome to the worship of God at the Westover Hills Presbyterian Church. We're especially pleased to have visitors with us today. If you want to find out more about the church, just stop somebody who looks like they know what they're talking about. Any number of people of whom that is true, so check it out. I am not Robert Lowry. He would ordinarily be doing this. The pastor is in the hospital. I think everybody has gotten that word. He's been having some tests, and so far, good news. They've done a whole lot of stuff looking at scary things and haven't found any evidence that there's any serious problem. He'll talk to you next week more about, he'll be back next week. He'll talk more about what happened and why he went to the hospital, I expect. So you get that straight from the pastor's mouth. But we think he will be released today, be home and recovering, but he's in the prayer list for today, just as a matter of course, because the pastor should be in there. But special reasons, he's in there today, so keep that in mind. There are other people on that prayer list. Please take a look at that. Lots of folks are dealing with health problems and other things. But also, a couple of special mentions. Bill Branch is on the way to Guatemala at this very moment with a delegation going down there. And Shirley Garlington and Kay McCollum will be going to Israel in just a couple of days. So they're going to go get that situation straightened out. So we're really pleased. I don't know what it took them so long to come up with the idea to go over there, but there they are. They'll be taking care of that. Today, we ordinarily would be installing new deacons and elders. That will not take place. We'll roll that over to next week. Robert really wanted to be part of that, and that would be especially meaningful for those folks to have him. So do that. Today is communion. The Lord's Supper is open. If you're baptized in any flavor of Christian experience, you're welcome to come to the table. And there'll be elders here distributing the elements, so they'll tell you what to do. It's pretty easy to commune. And also, one last thing, the pastor, guest preacher for today is Karen Aiken, Dr. Karen Aiken, and she is known to just about all of us, I expect, is a stalwart and deeply valued member of the Presbytery of Arkansas, honorably retired, and she had served at the Grace Presbyterian Church and longtime associate pastor at Second Pres, has done everything you can do in the presbytery, including being the moderator. And I won't go into the fact that she, like I am, is a native of Texas. Don't hold it against her. So don't, you know, keep that in mind. But she's a thoughtful presenter of her thoughts about the scriptures, and we're in for a blessing because of Karen Aiken's presence. So thank her for doing that today. And let us now compose ourselves and settle in for the prelude while we prepare ourselves to worship God.
Morning worship. We are here in the name of Jesus Christ. So ask right now, and it shall be given to you. Seek right now, and you will find. Knock right now, and the door will be open. Join me as we pray. Seeking One, You are the beginning and the end of our search. Finding One, You are the Alpha and Omega of all discovery. Asking One, You are the voice in the silence of our exploration. Giving One, You are the fullness and the emptiness of all yearning. Persistent One, You never abandon Your search for us, nor tire of our repetitive to-ings and fro-ings. Receiving One, You endlessly welcome us home and spread before us a feast in the face of our constant request for mere morsels of bread. Strengthen our courage, bolster our endurance, spur us onward in Your way in our world through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, amen. Join me in confession. If we say we are completely put together, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our distractions, our errors, our anxieties, God will meet us and renew us. Together, let us confess our sins against God and one another. Will you join me in prayer? You call us, and we will stay silent. You call us and speak Your word in this world, and we keep them hidden. You call us to be the feet in this world and go our own way. When we meet those who are doubting, say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who are in need, touch, and do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up Your cross and carry nothing, forgive us. Breathe life into these bones, bring freedom into these lives, and we might declare heart and soul and voice that You are God and the God. Amen.
Friends, this is the font of our identity. Here at this place, we are reminded who we are and whose we are. And at this place, we can proclaim the good news that God, who knows our thoughts, answers our cries, and rescues us from darkness. God, who understands our motives, reaches out to heal us and make us whole. God, who is with us in our weakness, grants strength and power so that we might live as salt and light in the world. So friends, believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And now, since we have been given peace from our God, please know that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you all.
And also with you.
And if you are so inclined, please take a few moments to grant that same action of peace to those who are worshiping near you. You can shake hands, you can elbow bump or fist bump or wave, but in some way, share the words, the peace of Christ, with those who are around you this day. So beautiful.
And I love you.
I love you.
Guess I didn't get that off. I am very thankful to be with you all in the beauty of this sanctuary and the wonder of this congregation. I'm sorry for the reason that I am here with Robert being in the hospital. Robert and I are not only colleagues but good friends, and his mother is one of my best friends. I know that you all rejoice in having him here as your pastor. My husband and I have enjoyed many years of being in this sanctuary as we listen to the wonderful lecturers that come each year with the Cottom Lecture Series, and we have been here in worship. We really appreciate the beauty of the choir and David Austin's work, and also the many different kinds of art installations that you've had over the years. So I am glad to be with you here in worship this day. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Speak to us, O Lord our God, and may the light of your love burn brightly in our hearts. Open our minds to receive your word, your wisdom, your hope, and the life of the gospel. Through Jesus Christ, your living word, we pray. Amen. I'm used to preaching from what's called the common lectionary, and so that's a little bit different than the passage that you find in your bulletin this morning. If you would like to read along, the passage, which is Matthew 5, 13 through 16, can be found on page 4 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Friends, listen now for God's good word to us. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid, and no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it underneath a bushel, but on the lampstand, and it will give light to all in the house. In the same way, therefore, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You might recognize that these words are from what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And here in this place, Jesus is encouraging his disciples as well as those future disciples that are sort of dotted on the hillside in Galilee, as well as those of you all who are dotting the pews here in this sanctuary this morning. He uses two metaphors for this new life, salt and light. And I want to start off by emphasizing the great good news of this passage right off the bat. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You have a decisive capacity to make a difference in the world. We don't have to become salt. We don't have to become light through our own good. We already are those things. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are capable of making a difference in our world. And some of you here, as we've already heard this morning, with people going to Guatemala and Israel, I have a daughter going to El Salvador, so here we go. Some of you are making a difference in the world in these global capacities, and some are doing it in more local or intimate ways. And both are important to Christ. The charge here in this passage is for us to be what we have been created to be. And we are to allow our character to develop according to the blessings that God has already given to us. Now, I caution us that along with this word of good news and blessing, there's also a word of warning. There is an absurdity in our denying our role as either salt or light. What could be more useless or meaningless than saltless salt or hidden lamps? It's ludicrous to think about putting some kind of a bushel or shade over a lamp so that its very nature becomes invisible. It loses its capacity to illumine. And in the same way, we who are disciples who do not engage in practices that humanize or better life on the earth will be like that salt that has lost its taste or a light that gets hidden and loses its purpose. So it is imperative for us to figure out how we can live out our nature as salt and light. These are small and common items, something that Jesus likes to do in talking to his disciples back then and now. These are images Christ uses to forcefully depict the world-remaking task of his disciples, of his church. Our very nature is to be salt and to be light. Now, some of these things you know. Salt seasons food, at least for some of us. Some have to back off of that because of high blood pressure and other things. And we know that light somehow helps to punch back the darkness in our world. And both of these commonplace items have the great capacity to change the world around them, as do you and I. The value of salt is in what it enables and adds. Salt flavors, it preserves, it can give zest. It can be used as an antiseptic. It can be used as a healing agent for wounds in cold areas, like we had not too long ago. It can be used as traction to provide stability and melt ice. Salt can be added as an abrasive to also scrape away things that are not needed. So we might want to ask ourselves some questions as we think about the capabilities of salt. Ask our questions to ourselves to help us determine if we are living into our saltiness as individuals and also as the church. Do people look at us and see something limp and bland? Or do we somehow bring new energy and joy for living life in this world? How can we reinvigorate those who feel useless in this world? Are there things that we are doing to bring healing to places of dis-ease? Are our words and actions soothing, restorative, caring? In what ways might we be able to give somebody some traction to get their life back on track, or to keep them from sliding into old patterns that are hurtful to themselves or others? Now, light for our gathered community helps us to be able to see things in a different light. At least we hope that's what happens in worship through word and music and silence and prayer. Light gives color, helps things to grow, it adds energy, can focus us on specific uses of our own gifts. In our context in the church, it might mean helping someone or inviting someone to take the bushel off of their light, to come out of hiding, and to use the God-given gifts that they have been given. We can help each other shine the light on our inner landscapes as well, for we all need to understand and heal the dark places of our own existence in our own hearts. And we all know of the existence of that external darkness in our world. There's no denying a plentiful amount of gloom and shadowy places that exist around us. It is no matter that we think ourselves kind of small or that we think ourselves tiny in comparison to the gigantic tasks of peace and justice in Israel and Palestine, here in the United States. Even a small lamp can give light to all in the house, our scriptures tell us. Figuratively speaking, the light of one person or a medium-sized congregation or even a struggling denomination, even if small and dim to the world's standards, those lights can still illumine the house. Some of you may know the singer-songwriter David Lamott. He's been here in Little Rock quite often. And he wrote a song about a friend of mine who died. And he said in his song, "All the darkness in the world can't extinguish the light of just one candle. All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of just one candle." We, along with all those listeners on the hillside so long ago, are invited to this public ministry of salt and light. Because, you know, there is a public dimension to our lives, even if our lives don't feel very public. It's important for us to move beyond the glass in our sanctuaries, move beyond the brick of our walls. And I truly believe that we have as the church what the world so desperately needs. We have words of hope. We have words of healing. We have words, or the word, of life. Persons all around us continue to be damaged, by darkness, violence, sexual and domestic abuse, human trafficking, political corruption, poverty, disease, indifference, disrespect, discrimination, and that's just the short list. We have a light to bring into that darkness, and we are the witness that the darkness does not get the final word. We have the power to make a difference in the lives of others and in the life of the world. There's a man named David Orr. Some of you may have read his writings. He's a college professor and an author. And he talks about this being salt and light in this way. He says, the plain fact is that the planet does not need more successful people. It does desperately need more peacemakers, healers, restorers, storytellers, and lovers of every kind. It needs people who live well in their place. So I want to tell you a couple of stories about people that I have encountered, both physically in my life and through reading, of people who are living well in their places, people who have embraced being salt and light. When I was the pastor at Grace, I spent a lot of time at Presbyterian Village, which is just a little bit down the street and across the street. And there was one woman there. She was not a member of the congregation at Grace, but she stood out to me every time I went to Presbyterian Village. She had a very sharp mind, although her body was failing. She couldn't see very well, and she had a difficult time getting around. And at that point, which was 3.5 years ago, she was going to be 99 in just a few days. But she wanted to be salt and light in the way that God had fashioned her to be. So this is what she decided to do. She decided that she would go out of her way to welcome particularly the new people who moved into the village. She volunteered to stuff envelopes for the marketing department, and she specifically would seek out those who were lonely and cast aside due to dementia. She even helped to start a book club. She was living well in her place. I recently read a story about a woman who began a ministry to those experiencing homelessness in the shadow of what's known as Target Field. Some of you will recognize that as the home of the Minnesota Twins. Mary Jo was this woman's name, and she was a mother to many children. But she felt called to a specific ministry to provide showers for people experiencing homelessness in her neighborhood. She then started doing something pretty incredible. She started washing their feet. And then that led her to have drives in her neighborhood and around the city for shoes to put on those feet that she had washed. Today, she manages a shelter for those experiencing homelessness. And I read that she goes to church every Sunday, but with those that she ministers to, she doesn't talk so much about her faith as she acts as salt and light. Close by the cheers that can be heard from that stadium, here is this woman nestled next to that ballpark, being a very powerful witness, reflecting the redeeming presence of Jesus. She is transforming the place where she lives. She has found her way to claim being salt and light and living well in her spot. So it's important for us to remember that part of what we do is to reflect God's light in the world. Now, I know some of you here know the names Mary and Chappie Alsop. Anybody know that name? They've lived in this area for many years. And those of you who know Mary and Chappie, if they were here, I would say this, they're kind of geeky people. And every time I would go with them, they loved to go to, I can't remember the name of the place. Anyway, they would love to go to this place to eat. And every time I would go out with them to eat, I would get a science lecture of some kind. And one time Chappie reminded me how a flashlight works. There's one single bulb, which without the reflectors on the sides would only shine a tiny little pinpoint. But the design of the flashlight includes that round metal reflector that surrounds that tiny pinpoint of light. And with its help, that light is reflected to a larger area of space, significantly increasing the space to the light. So we are the light, and we are reflectors of God's light in the world. There's a Muslim theologian, Imam Ghazali. He lived in the 10th century. And he wrote that one who carries the light is one who is seen, but makes others be seen also. One who carries the light is one who is seen, but helps others to be seen also. And this idea is also found in our Christian understanding, our Christian theology, through a word that has become one of my favorite words. It's the word glory. Now, this is the sign language for glory. Y'all do it with me. Glory. What does that look like? Tiny little pinpoints of light. Glory. And this is a fascinating thing to me. Glory means literally to help someone to be seen in their best light. So when we give glory to God, we are helping the world to see God in God's best light. And there's a place in the Gospel of John where Jesus says we are to give glory to each other. And that sounds kind of strange, but think about it. We are also here to help each other to be seen in God's best light. To help each other to be seen in the best light possible. It's like 100 tiny lights shining in the world. Glory, assisting God to be illuminated and more known in the world. We are here to help others to be seen in that best light, and particularly those who are not seen by the world. The sick, the dying, the poor, those who are experiencing homelessness, the marginalized, the abused, refugees, those who do not have a voice or a place in the world. We are here to give them God's glory. Now, you have a history in this place. It's a present and future calling of being salt and light into the community and beyond. And it's beautifully expressed through your ministries in the church, whether it be through the work you have done with prisons, whether it be through the work that you've done with feeding people, whether it be through the work you've done through music and arts, whether it be through the work that you have done in educating people. You have this story to tell. You have this ministry in your midst. You are already salt and light. But you know, we all need to live into it even more. You shed light on each other as you help each other discover your God-given gifts for ministry. You illumine yourselves through study and service. And your outreach and generosity bring light to the darkness of poverty and hunger and injustice. You hold the Christ light of hope to those who live in the nighttime of fear and disease. Yet there is more to be done, more change needed in our world. And so the charge this day is that we hold each other accountable to challenge the shaping of our individual characters and the character of this church into being more of the salt and the light that we have been given. Let us choose to live well in this place and in the places in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to remain standing and join together as we share in our affirmation of faith. We are a cloth of diverse colors. We are the people flowing forth from Creator God. We are raw material for rewarding relationships as our lives interweave. We are each worthy of being respected and cared for. We commit ourselves to work together. You may be seated. I will remind you again, as David mentioned, that We will not be proceeding to the ordination and installation of ruling elders and deacons, and that will be taking place next week. We will be proceeding to the offering, and our choir has an anthem that they will be singing. I remind you that all that we have and all that we are gifts that God has given to us. And when we bring our offerings to these boxes that are here in the front of the sanctuary, we are giving a portion of those gifts back to God for God to use in the world for peace and justice and hope. So let us bring our offerings to God and share in this gift of offering.
Thank you.
Let us bow together for a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that have been brought forward this day and other gifts that have been shared with this congregation, not only the monetary gifts, but the gifts that you have given to us in our lives. We ask your blessing on all of these gifts, and may they truly be used, O Lord, to bring your hope for the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, at this place, we meet these elements common in life as our salt and life, bread and juice. All are invited to this table to receive the gifts that God would give us in this place, reminding us of who and whose we are. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us
give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right to give you thanks and praise, O God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. And even when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. In your Son, Jesus Christ, you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. Your Spirit appointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. And so we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and cup, And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. We pray in the name of the one who invites us to this table, and we pray as he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear this story. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks to God for the gift. And then he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after supper, he took a cup, and again he gave thanks to God for the gift. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." And the Apostle Paul adds, "For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes again." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And at this time, I would invite the elders who are serving to come forward. Knowing that your heart holds all of your people and our joys and concerns, we offer prayers for those in our community and our world. God of all newness, we come to you this day in daring hope for healing for those who have lost their homes, their lives, their livelihood in recent storms, floods, and wars. Our rock, protect those who protect us as they serve in warring places all over the world. Eternal One, we pray for comfort and peace for all who sorrow. And Gracious One, we ask for your caring presence to be felt with those in the hospital. And may your healing presence be felt with those who are recuperating, with those who are undergoing treatment or have health concerns. God of compassion, may your spirit of peace be with all who are in hospice care. And we pray for others whose troubles we may not know or whose name we would not say aloud. We mention those now in the silence which you understand. Tend your sick ones. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones. Soothe your suffering ones. Care for your afflicted ones. Shield your joyous ones. And now may you, God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now as you go out into the world, remember, live in God's light. Thanks be to God. Amen.